So let's move on to social media, and because I think that is a very interesting area where instead of a single dimension of communication of just push, you're now interacting, and therefore that's an extra dimension on your tone of voice or how you express yourself and so on. So what do you think, are there right and wrong ways that you counsel people to do that, or which tools to use and so on?
Yes, I mean, the first thing is to embrace it. I think, you know, we talked about some organisations that are always still pretending it's not there, and it is, and people will be talking about your brand on it. Okay, Ryanair have decided not to engage in the Ryanair Facebook site, but that's, you know, that's fine, that's their approach. At least they've done that deliberately, and I think, you know, at least they have a strategy, which is not to waste money and time engaging, or what they see as a waste. But I think a lot of organisations still don't quite know how to deal with it. And it is tough because, you know, I was on the John Lewis Facebook site this morning, and there's lots of positive stuff, but there's also customers complaining, and they have, I don't know what they call them, moderators, but they have some staff who are actively and very sort of in a very timely manner are commenting on some of the complaints. So, you know, I can't find these boots at £29. Within 2 minutes, you'll find a John Lewis partner commenting on that. And then, you know, he can get a little bit sort of scratchy because it's not a face-to-face conversation. But the likes of particularly the retailers, John Lewis, Tesco, etc., A, they've realised you kind of have to engage, and B, they're using it positively. So you'll find, you know, at the moment on both sites, you'll find all sorts of Halloween offers and Halloween discussions. They're using it proactively. I think I have a personal view that I think social media is probably slightly overrated, and I think it's gone through a boom time, and I think, like so many things, it'll settle down to find its natural place. But I think it is odd if you're a large organisation and you don't have a LinkedIn page. If you're a business or a corporate organisation, it's more likely to be LinkedIn than Facebook. But it still surprises me that, in fact, I was working with an organisation earlier this year where one of their main products was a digital product, and yet half the board weren't on LinkedIn. And I'm just thinking, well, it doesn't show them as part of the world in which that they're, you know,
the way
the company's operating. Exactly.
Yeah.
The tough thing about social media is how to behave on it, and if you've been used to very sort of rigid corporate guidelines about how you speak and communicate, you know, what do you do when you've suddenly got, as in Rolls-Royce's case, 7,000 staff on LinkedIn, all of whom may post something occasionally and will, you know, update their profiles, etc., etc. The fact is, you can't actively control it, and those firms that really have strong brands and a sense of brand, the people will do the right thing. So, you know, you can't imagine there's too many Apple employees that won't be supportive of Apple online. In fact, they tend to be evangelists and product evangelists themselves. And the same with...
Same with Microsoft as well. I mean, they have really sort of empowered their employees to blog, saying, please do.
And absolutely.
These, you know, you're all grown-ups, these are the guidelines.
Absolutely.
You know, don't say anything your granny would be embarrassed about, or we would, or you'd be embarrassed about.
Absolutely. And I think that is the only way to go. If someone is bad mouthing the company they work for in public, then, you know, that's a different sort of issue. Of course, there's always, you know, social media is only an amplification of what always went on. You know, 20 years ago, it might be you and some friends down a pub talking about the organisation you work for. It's just that didn't get the wider broadcast, if you like.
The red line hadn't gone global at
exactly,
that point.
Exactly, exactly. Right. and that's all social. That's not all social media, is because many more people can partake in it. But it just gives you a much wider exposure. But I think organisations do need to embrace it. I don't think anyone fully understands the effects to date. But if you're not taking part in the sort of social media explosion, then you never will understand them. I can understand it's scary when it's not the old controlled model of, you know, we'll put a press release out, it might appear in the FT, we'll brief the journalist, take him or her to lunch, and we'll we're kind of assured of a decent peace. You know, so it's a very different world to that.
But there are equivalents. So, you know, to court, to make sure that your A-list, what I would say, your A-list press release, or the story that you actually really do want to invest time in, making sure that it has got the interesting and shareable elements.
Yes.
So whether it's attached images or embedded video or so on, those things we know from studies go further, get shared more and so on.
Absolutely.
Courting the right set of bloggers.
Absolutely.
As opposed to just the traditional journalists.
Absolutely.
And as exercises that we've seen where people have involved us, Sainsbury's and the like, on certain areas, we've seen incredible results from people treating bloggers with respect.
Yes.
And the sort of scale of buzz that then gets created from that, and all of it generally positive.
Absolutely.
So I think there's a whole set of new rules.
Yes.
For PR departments to learn. I think
Absolutely.
They have to embrace social media, understand its use, mm-hmm. and how to leverage that.
Yes.
And a new set of empowered communicators who are out there commenting on
absolutely.
On the business.
And I've got a very good example just to build on that was Green King who've obviously acquired a lot of brewers around the country and have actually consolidated a lot of the brewery operations at their place in Bury St Edmunds, and were getting a lot of criticism from camera, and in particular a blogger whose name I won't remember now, but he's one of the main beer bloggers, very critical of Green King. I think he termed them, you know, GK stands actually for Greedy King because of the ways that they've been acquiring these brewers. They engaged with him. They took him on a tour of the Bury St Edmunds Brewery. They showed how actually a lot of the individual ways the acquired beers are brewed are still in a customised form, albeit it's at one place, not 20 different places around the country. And I remember reading his blog on, and he talked about that visit, and he talked about his experience, and actually said, my views of Green King have changed. And you just see in his tone, I mean, he's still critical of some things, but in change of his tone,
he sees
quite
point
marked
of view
because
and
he's been engaged. And I think that would be a very good example of exactly what you were saying. Whereas if Green King could continue to ignore him, they would still be getting, you know, commentary which perhaps is not as accurate as they would have liked.
And people do get turned off. I mean, people's attention spans on the web and the way their opinions are formed is much shorter nowadays. And because they've got so many information sources and so much going on, they've only got a little bit of time to pick up.
Absolutely. And it was interesting when I was looking at some of these sites yesterday, I was thinking, and it's often the same when you sort of look through annual reports professionally, how many other people have genuinely read all the pages on this website? And you know, people, as you say, people just don't have time, particularly if they're accessing the website. We haven't talked about it a lot, but on mobile applications, on their BlackBerry or their phone or whatever, you know, they're just not going to go through a whole ream of different content.
Particularly if each page takes 30 seconds to load.
Exactly.
Because I think there's a risk going on to mobile now, there is a risk that because with your iPhone and your BlackBerry, that you can actually now, in general, more sites are compatible with those phones and with the smartphones. And therefore, you could say, look, here's our website. It's small and you can zoom in. Therefore, that's fine, isn't it?
Mm.
And the answer is, no, it's not. Partly because the user experience is so poor. But secondly, because Google actually rates, if you build a mobile optimized site, Google will, and if it's accessed from a mobile, it will rank through its search the mobile optimized site higher than the other ones. And therefore, you will get a higher visibility. Mm-hmm. You will get a better share of voice if you actually take the effort to do that.
Right.
Now, given that we've seen, obviously, some mobile-optimized sites, how do you go about expressing the brand when you've got less to play with there?
Yes, and I think that is, in some ways, I think that can be a positive, because I think some of the sites we've talked about, you know, you're forced not to use long paragraphs of corporate speak on a mobile site, so getting to the point more quickly.
Which they could learn from, actually.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, it is that old less is more, and, you know, if you can get the American Constitution on one page of paper and the Ten Commandments on one page of paper, et cetera, then why can't you get the key points about an organisation on X number of mobile app pages? So actually, I think it helps focus the mind, and could actually be an aid to getting a stronger brand presence online.
I mean, initially the focus has been partly in because of the companies who provide the tools and so on to provide the share price, mm-hmm. the mini chart, mm-hmm. The news access, mm-hmm. And maybe the events. So yes. Things that are reasonably, well, I guess, press releases aside,
are factual, a statement of fact.
But with the press releases are key sets of information that you need to let people know that you've done certain things. But I would be interested to see if people start trying to tell the story through the mobile site a little bit better. And as you say, in much clearer, simpler forms, simple diagrams.
Yeah.
When I look at websites where you've got much better highlighting of information, Marks & Spencer's has got key large font figures of its key results at the top of the results page.
Yeah.
Unilever is very good at highlighting summary facts at the top of each section. I love the way that's designed.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, people have got to get used to the idea of highlighting their information and helping people absorb it.
Otherwise,
you know, too much information and you're dead.
Agree.